Hello, everybody. This is Connor. Thank you so much for finding this episode of Drama with Connor and Dylan McDowell. We come out with new episodes every single Wednesday, and we encourage you to subscribe, like the show, follow us on all platforms, et cetera, et cetera. And I know you're going to love this week's episode with the star of Boop the Musical, Jasmine Amy Rogers. She's an absolute gem, total delight, megastar. You will love this. So I encourage you to keep tapping to listen. But before you do that, I want to tell you about our bonus content platform, Drama Plus. This is on patreon.com/thedramapodcast. That's how you find Drama Plus. And you spend $5 and you become a Drama Plus member. And you get access to our Instagram close friends and extra episodes of Drama every single month, where it's Dylan and I chit-chatting about all things theater, pop culture, love, and life. You're going to love it. So go to patreon.com/thedramapodcast to become a member of Drama Plus and enjoy today's episode with Jasmine Amy Rogers. Send it to all your friends. Tell your, you know, beloved colleagues, your theater-loving people in your life, etc. We get all into Boop. We get all into her life and career. And we talk about pop culture at large, which is just obviously what we're all obsessed with. So anyway, thank you. Thank you. Enjoy the show.
Press play. Curtain up and now we're in. It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nominated?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell.
Dylan, it's so weird to see you sitting in what only can be described as my childhood bedroom.
Correction, we shared this childhood bedroom.
Oh, shoot.
It just became yours, like college onwards. But yeah, I know. I'm in Cleveland dog/house sitting for our parents because they've been with you.
I know. They said goodbye to me and I'm crying in the club. It was so fun.
It's always tough. We're such sensitive souls.
I know. It was a really fun time. And the weather in New York this weekend was beautiful. So we had some like outdoor meals, walked around. We went on the Staten Island Ferry and just like rode it back and forth.
That's pure.
It was so wholesome and so free. And they were like, this is so peaceful. It was really, really nice. Saw a show. We were binge watching The Residence on Netflix, which Dylan, you've got to watch. It's the new like Shondaland series.
Yeah.
With Uzo Aduba. Oh my God. It is so fun. So fast paced. Highly recommend. But we were all missing you, I should say.
Yeah, did the family dynamic feel incomplete?
Well, it did, because you're like always making us laugh when you're on. So.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I had a fun weekend myself here in Ohio. I saw a Chorus Line in Columbus. They had like a 50th anniversary production. And I have to say, I think we're due for a revival of a Chorus Line.
For a revival?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're obviously at City Center now. I was thinking about how there was that gala production a couple of years ago with Robin Herter as Cassie and a bunch of other friends of the pod. I think that we're due. I think it's a timeless show.
Did it move you? Did you sob?
Oh, like a baby. I mean, during the finale, the one. But you know what really got me was the scene right before What I Did for Love, when they all talk about, like, what would you do if you can't dance anymore? And it's just such an applicable thing about, like, when you maybe have to leave one dream behind and go for another. It's such a great show. There's a reason it won the Pulitzer.
Oh, shoot. It did. Yeah. It did. It really did. Well, I'm glad you had a fun time. And
thank you,
Dylan. I've been looking forward to today's podcast. A week since we saw the show. Well, since even before we saw the show, but I can't believe. I'm so gagged. I want you to just read the intro and bring her in because we can't waste another second.
All right. Our guest today is making a splash of a Broadway debut in the titular role of Betty Boop in Boop the Musical. This absolute triple threat created this onstage musical character in Chicago at the show's thrilling pre-Broadway run. Just some of her fabulous credits include playing Anita in Jelly's Last Jam at the Pasadena Playhouse, Gretchen Wieners in the national tour of Mean Girls, Melody Green in The Wanderer at the Paper Mill Playhouse, and Frances in the world premiere of Becoming Nancy, directed by Jerry Mitchell at the Alliance Theater. You just might recognize her from a television appearance in Evil on Paramount Plus, and tune in with me as Betty Boop. Long before becoming a leading lady on Broadway, she was a Jimmy Awards finalist and subsequently in Cabaret as Sally Bowles at the Manhattan School of Music, where she studied musical theater. This star is born, and we're so happy to speak with her today. Please welcome to Drama, Jasmine,
Jasmine,
Amy,
Amy, Roger.
Rogers.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, we're so
Hello.
happy to have you.
Oh my gosh, so exciting.
Jasmine, we always like to kick off our episodes by checking in with our guests, and we're wondering today, are you well?
I am fantastic, actually. The brain is in a good space. I was on CBS Good Morning with Miss Gayle King today. So it's been a good
Fresh
day.
back from
Fresh
space.
back from space. She has landed. She's here.
Oh my gosh, so what time did you have to get up?
I got up. Well, I had to be in the car at 6 o'clock, and I was supposed to get up at, I was set my alarm for 4:30, but I didn't arise until 5:30. So I was a little rushed, but I didn't have to be ready, so it was okay.
Oh, you can get ready when you get there.
Yes, thank the Lord, because I wasn't on until like 8, but
Okay.
yeah.
My
That's so
God, I
surreal.
have to watch
Yeah, I know.
it.
I can't wait to check it out.
It was nice. It was very, they're like very friendly.
I'm so comforted by morning shows. I don't know what it is.
Right. They do a good job at curating it for people. So like you really do start your day off in a nice, soft way,
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. I mean, I'm so happy for you. You're having such an incredible moment right now. Obviously, making your Broadway debut. Connor and I got to see that it was the final preview of Boop. It was like this whole like themed thing was happening that
Oh,
night. It was like
yes.
Betty's Bash or something like that.
Yes. It was Betty's Friday Night Bash.
My
Yes.
kind of Friday night.
Yes. It was like our producer's way of kind of saying thank you to us and also to like our friends and family because, when opening happens, you don't always get a lot of tickets. So like you can't bring all the people you want. So he helped us out that night, which was very kind.
Oh, that's so nice. I know we were kind of geeking out seeing Jerry Mitchell in the back of the
Yes.
house, chatting with people. I mean, we were, of course, obsessed with Legally Blonde, the Search for the Next Elle Woods, but also when it aired on MTV.
Yes.
So Jerry's been a part of our lives for years,
Right.
decades.
Yeah, he's incredible. And he's a really great guy, too, and so much fun. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know many people who have a better reputation than him in the theater
Truly,
community.
truly, he is like so kind and just like joyous. And that's really nice. Like working with him is genuinely so much fun. I love him.
He puts the stamp on all of his musicals. I remember when we
Yes.
talked to Annaleigh Ashford a few years ago about
Oh.
Kinky Boots, she said that you could feel the heartbeat in the back of the house. And I felt the same way about Boop. That last number, I mean, I don't want to get too ahead of everything, but that final number and everything that was happening, it just was such a heartwarming, like you can't help but just be smiling as you leave the theater.
Right. And that's our goal. Like our goal is to just like have people leave with a smile stuck on their face. And I think we're succeeding. So it's, well, I know we're succeeding because I see them at the stage door, but it's really, really exciting. Yeah.
Oh my goodness, you are so amazing in this show as
Thank
Betty
you.
Boop. I mean, it's such an iconic character. Did you feel pressure taking it on?
I did. I felt so much pressure. Now, luckily that I've been doing it for a while, the pressure is kind of like, fallen away. But I did. I was so nervous about the voice and like, the mannerisms and just even the way she like freaking stands. I was like so self-conscious about for so long. But now it just feels like a second skin almost, which is really nice.
That is really nice. I know I've heard you tell the story before about how you auditioned for the show and you got cut during the dance call, but then it came back into your life. You really pushed for it. And would you say you manifested Betty back into your life and career?
Yes, I think so. I mean, it's because what happened was I didn't get it, and I was on tour with Mean Girls at the time, so I flew back to the tour and was heartbroken. And then the tour closed that summer, that spring summer. I came back to New York City, and I was working with a friend on something she was doing for 54 Below, and so we were in like I think it was Pearl Studios. And I could hear the music and I was like, oh my goodness, are they still looking? And she was like, yeah, they haven't found it. And I was like, interesting. So I contacted my agents and I called them and I was like, how can I get back in that room? I need to be back in there. It just feels like it's waiting for me or I'm waiting for it or something. And they're like, we'll see. And so I did get back in there and I had like 7 or 8 auditions. And then I finally got it, but it was like the longest, craziest process of my life. But I fought for it so much. So I don't even know if it's like really manifestation. I think my family maybe manifested it, more than I did. I had to that this was one thing I was like, no, I have to fight for this one.
Yeah. And as you're doing each audition, are they adding more material or is it just they're bringing more people in who need to see you?
More people and like different work that it's doing, like that we're working on. But it was mostly like more people every time.
Wow. And when did you get to sing Something to Shout About for the first time? Because I am obsessed. That was, I mean, the show is has so many bright and beautiful moments, but that is such a lived in, powerful, dramatic scene. It's, oh, congrats. It is so beautiful.
Thank you. I can't remember if it was in the first round of auditions. At first, I think it was just Where I Want to Be. And then maybe the second audition, they did both, or I may have done both from the beginning. I don't know. But it's funny because that song was the easier of the two to sing because Where I Want to Be just keeps going. And it's like, it just is like the most high energy number, and I finally through this run have felt like I'm able to sing it and just like relax into it. But yeah, Something to Shout About is it's like my favorite song I've ever sung ever. It's amazing. It's such a good song. David Foster and Susan Birkenhead, dream team, literally.
Oh my God. Yeah. There was something in the sauce with that one. It just comes to
Right.
such a powerful moment too
Yeah.
in the musical. I didn't really know how the show would resolve, and I don't want to give any spoilers away. And so but I love that Betty gets that moment towards the end. It's such a
Yeah,
journey.
it is a journey, and it's exciting to like play that every night because I mean, it's fine and safe to say that, you know, she goes on a huge arc. And by the end, I really don't think she's still Betty Boop, but she's not the same girl she was when that curtain comes up, you know? So I really do love to get to do that number. As an actor, it also feels very fun and exciting to do that entire. You know, that arc. It's very cool.
Yeah, I can imagine. Now that you're at this point in the run, I mean, you opened recently, but is there a moment in the show that you've been looking forward to lately that you're like, okay, this is the moment tonight where I am gonna like just have the best time on stage?
Yeah. I mean, I've been having a lot of fun with the scene right before Where I Want to Be. Pretty much all of us are on stage together and we just get to have fun. And I've been doing this thing where I keep somehow, and it's truly an accident, I keep falling out of my chair. And I end up on the floor. And like it works in the moment because, you know, it's not a spoiler. We've talked about it. She has a beer for the first time in the real world and it just literally like knocks her out. And it literally takes me out of my chair. Apparently, for the past week or so, I've fallen a couple times. And it's always so funny because the first time it happened, the ensemble, they're like, first of all, is she okay? Second of all, how do we stay serious in this moment? But it's so much fun to just play. There's so many good moments where I can just like have fun because the show is just so much fun and it's exciting to see what we create every night.
Yeah. Has the show changed a lot since the run in Chicago coming to Broadway?
So the first act is pretty much exactly the same. The second act had some big changes. We cut some things down, like Raymond, our villain, had an extra number that was in the show and an extra scene, but we actually ended up taking those out. And funny enough, by taking those out, it made the character stronger.
Hmm.
Grampy and Valentina, which is Faith Prince and Steven DeRosa, they got a new song. Their song is new, and they got some new scenes, and their relationship kind of evolved a little bit. But yeah, and the scene at the end. You know, when Betty goes back to from the roof back to her world, there's some little changes in there. But if for the most part, the arc is the same, like the meat and potatoes is the same, but like what's in there is a little different. Yeah.
It's a good roast.
Our, yes, it's a good rose. And our act two opener is completely different from Chicago.
Oh my
Yeah.
gosh. I love the Act Two opener. It is so fun.
Yay.
It is so, it's such a
Oh,
visual feast. And also, it just gets stuck in your head.
it does. It really does. It's so much fun. I remember we were in the room and like we saw it for the first time because it was truly brand new. And it's kind of the choreography itself is simple, but it's what's all the visual aspects are what makes it stunning, you know? And so when we're sitting there in the room and they're doing it, the ensemble's kind of like, what the hell are we doing? They're like, Jerry, this is stupid. This doesn't make any sense. But then as soon as they put on the costumes and we saw it with the set for the first time, we were like, oh, I see. But that's the way Jerry works. Like he sees things in his head And you can't visualize it until it's there because his mind is just so unique and special in that way. So there have been a couple of times where I'm like, what is he talking about? And then you see it and you're like, this man's a genius.
Oh my goodness. Wait, so we mentioned earlier that Connor and I were obsessed with Legally Blonde and stuff. What was your introduction to Jerry Mitchell? Like, did you watch that MTV airing
I
on
didn't.
No, okay.
No, growing up, I was kind of like a fake musical theater fan. Like I did it, but I didn't really know anything about it. Like when I went to the Jimmy Awards, like when they were like, oh, you're going to the Jimmy Awards, I was like, what are you talking about? What's that? So, that's kind of where I was coming from. But I worked with him. My first professional job was with Jerry, and I remember learning about him in my musical theater history class, which was actually taught by David Loud, of all freaking people, who is
Oh,
a
wow.
correct, and he's amazing. And I remember learning about Jerry and then leaving class one day to go to an audition, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to audition for Jerry Mitchell. He's doing this show called Becoming Nancy that we did in Atlanta, and I ended up booking it. But in my professional career, he's appeared and just stayed. But he, yeah, which is like, how lucky am I? But
Uh-oh,
yeah.
totally. Becoming Nancy was, I'm trying to remember, was Jessica Vosk in that at some point?
Yes, she
Okay, there were,
was.
was she Nancy or was
No,
that
she was
somebody else?
not. Nancy
Okay.
was actually a boy. His name's Zachary Sale. I don't know if you know who that is.
I do.
He
Yeah, I think
was,
he was in Newsies at one point.
yes, that's he was in the Newsies tour. I believe he was Crutchy, First National. And he played Nancy, but he played a boy who ended up having to play Nancy and Oliver because there was no one in the school that could play the part. It's actually a very funny show. It's British, so it just had a run in the UK.
Oh, right. Cool.
Yeah, and it is so funny. But Jessica was in the show and she played his aunt. Yeah.
Okay. I now know what the title means. So, it's one of
Right.
those things.
Yeah. And it's also a book. And the book is really good. But yeah, it's a
I'll
really
check it
sweet
out.
show. It's
It
so
sounds
good.
fun.
It is fun.
I want to ask another question about Boop really quick because you have such
Yeah.
great chemistry with, is his name Ainsley, who plays Dwayne?
Yes.
Yes. The two of you truly had such good chemistry. And when we were there for Betty's Friday Night Bash, the crowd was wild AF. But there were some moments where I was like, oh, shoot. Like, these two, it's going down.
Oh my God. I love that man. I love him. He, Ainsley Mellem, plays Dwayne. We met and we just immediately kind of clicked. And something about we always like he's like my brother now, but I always say to him, I'm like, I swear our souls like knew each other because he and I just get along so well, and he's so protective of me and so loving and caring. And he's a gay man. But like that's the love,
Let's just get it out
right?
there.
Because my grandmother and my dad were like, they need to be careful because he's gonna fall in love with her. I said, that man is gay.
That's so family. They're always,
Truly, right? And I was like, but he is the love of my life. I love that man so much. We just got really lucky to like, you don't always meet people, especially people that you work like so closely with and like get along so well, but we are just like attached at the hip. And by we, I mean I am attached to him. Anywhere he goes, I need to be there. And he just lets me, and he loves me, and I love him.
That's
You
so
two are he's
sweet.
a dream. Like you, I mean, like look at him also. So like it's not hard to like fall in love with him because he's stunning.
I love that number on the rooftop that the two of you, it's like
Thank
the sing, it
you.
becomes a sing-along. It's so
Yeah,
sweet.
that's our favorite number as well, honestly.
Everyone needs to go see Boop, basically. We're teasing up all these amazing moments. They need to see it to believe it for themselves. I
Yay.
know, especially Pudgy, the little doggy,
I
which, oh my
know.
God. Oh, so
He's
cute.
so cute. Philip Huber does Pudgy. Philip is so funny because the whole thing is like, don't look at Philip, don't look at Philip, And
Right.
usually I don't. Every once in a while I'll look and I'm like, don't look at him while we're on stage. But he has a way of just literally of bringing Pudgy to life, which is his job. But you'll be having conversations with Philip backstage or when we're rehearsing, and he's maneuvering Pudgy to react to the conversation. And I'm like, so Pudgy's always with us. And I'll never forget the first time we saw him, like we just couldn't stop staring at him because it's first of all, it's so freaking cute, but I'm like, that thing's alive. That thing is alive. So sweet. God.
Oh, I love it.
I
Do people
know.
come to the show dressed up in all of their Betty merch, or was that just kind of an
Yes.
exclusive for her Friday night? I keep referencing the Friday Night Bash.
For
I'm
Friday
obviously
Night
obsessed
Bash.
with
No, truly. And
it.
a name like that, you have to say it. There's a joke in my family about a spaghetti bash because that my grandmother throws. And so that's what it makes me think of, which is totally, no one knows what I'm talking about, but it's
I want
fine.
one of those, though. I mean,
Right.
now we're
Wait,
talking.
is Spaghetti Bash kind of like Pizza Night, where it's just the name for like what
Yes.
you're having that night?
Correct. My grandmother
Okay.
was insistent that we're calling it a spaghetti bash. So
I
it's so
love
funny.
it.
Anyway.
I love that.
But yeah, people come dressed up all the time. We've had like some really amazing drag queens come, some little girls fully dressed up. One girl, she was like fully dressed up in like a Betty getup, and then her friend was just wearing like all white. And then her friend got on the floor and she was like, I'm Pudgy. Was like so cute. But people do come dressed up, people of all ages, women, men, non-binary people, all people. It's so cute. I love it.
That's really
Yeah.
special.
Betty is so iconic.
I love that they play with the idea of cosplay and characters, like the whole Comic-Con angle. And it's such a
Yes.
treat too to see different, because there's something for everyone. You know, everyone has different obsessions and things that they really attach themselves to. What are you into outside of Broadway and theater? Like, what would you
Oh
want
my
to see in the
gosh.
Comic-Con sequence at the beginning?
I'm not as big into it as I used to be, but I'm an anime girl. I love it. We have a Naruto reference. We have a
Yes.
slight Dragon Ball Z reference. It used to be bigger, but we switched the character. We actually switched from Goku to Naruto, but there's still the Dragon
Okay.
Ball is still there.
Yeah.
There's the Sailor Moon character that's in there sometimes. It depends on who's on, some if someone's swinging on. But I love that.
Oh.
I think I'd like to see some of the cartoons that I grew up with, like Codename Kid Next Door. Like that would be so
Yeah.
cute. We have SpongeBob, he's in there. Oh my God, like a Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends. There's just room for so much stuff. But
Yes. You had Cartoon Network in your house growing
I did. Oh my God.
up.
And my mom used to like, I was a big cartoon kid, which makes sense as to where I am now. But
Yeah.
my mother used to get so mad. We used to watch Ed, Edd n Eddy. Do you remember
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Our
that?
mom
And
didn't
she
like us to watch
was
it.
like, yes. She said, I don't want you guys watching this anymore. It's going to make you stupid. And we were like, okay. And then we still watched it anyway. But
Jasmine, that is
yeah.
exactly what our mother said to us too. There must have been some
Yeah.
universal experience that I never realized anyone else had. She said they talk stupid on that show.
Absolutely. But I'm like, that's literally the whole point. Oh my
Yes.
gosh.
Yeah.
So funny.
I forgot about Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends. That show was such a vibe.
It
It was so
was.
moody and kind of melancholy, but we loved it too.
There were so many like strange little like cartoons like that on Nickelodeon too. There were a lot of weird little cartoons.
Yeah.
Oh my
If you're
gosh.
ever scrolling Reddit at night, they have a lot of like theories now about the psychology behind a lot of these cartoons.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Kind of dark too, but it's interesting. Yeah.
Correct.
Like Hey Arnold and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of different theories.
Yes, that another one that's like very weird, dark, and moody.
Yes, totally.
Yeah.
Well, we're kind of talking about childhood and whatnot now. You mentioned you felt like a fake musical theater kid, but
Oh my gosh,
you're
yes.
we talk about the Ring of Keys moment on our show is like that moment you got into the arts. It could have been, you know, a singer
Yeah.
you were listening to, a musical you saw. Do you feel like you had a moment that made you realize that a life in the arts was going to be one for you?
Yes, first of all, I will say that I think it took me a while to realize that, like, oh my God, like this could be my entire life as opposed to just like a piece. Because I grew up dancing, but my mother loved musical theater as well. So when I was little, it was, I don't even know what time it was, but it was that Idina Menzel Rent to Wicked era. And my mom was obsessed. And we used to listen to that in the car. And so I would make my mother play Take Me or Leave Me on freaking loop in the car. And this is back when your iPod would like, if you played a certain song over and over again, your iPod was like, okay, well, you must love this song. So I'm just going to put it on repeat. And so it would play over and over again. And I would literally sing the whole song, like both parts. And my brother would go, how come she gets to swear? Because I'm like, and if you give a damn. And I was like, obsessed. She's like, why can she say damn? How can she curse? And my mom's like, shut up, she's singing. So like,
Encouraged it.
I
Yeah.
truly. And so that, and then Wicked for me, even though like more now I'm more of an Elphaba girly, at the time I was more of a Glinda girly for sure, because Popular was like my favorite song on the planet. And my first ever musical theater audition was actually Popular when I was like seven.
Bold choice.
Truly, that's what everybody said. And I didn't know anything because I didn't know any better. And my mom was like, she didn't know any better. My mom's a pharmacist. So like that was it for me, I think. And I also like the Disney princesses. I loved, obviously, Ariel and Mulan when I was really little, and Cinderella were my favorite. Like the Brandy Cinderella movie with Bernadette Peters and Whitney Houston,
Oh.
literally when I was like tiny, 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 was like my favorite movie. That and The Little Mermaid. So music has always been just like it for me. And then when I started like doing theater myself when I was like 7, I was just like obsessed. Like had to be the loudest one singing on the stage, wanted to be towards the front of the stage, couldn't help myself.
When you sang
That's
popular
so
for that
cute.
audition, what was the show? Did you end up booking the show?
I did. I booked. I was, it was Peter
Period.
Pan and I was in Tiger Lily's tribe.
Oh, fun.
Yes. But instead of Native Americans, we were hippies.
Okay, a concept. I love it. I love that. Now I need to hear you singing in my own little corner
Oh,
suddenly, because that song is such a bop.
so good.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's a really, really good song. There's a video of me singing that exists somewhere, but I would love to play Cinderella. I mean, back when I still dream to be like a Disney princess one day, but I always wanted to do like, if I did a movie, I would want to do Cinderella, but it's been done so many times now. I'm like, maybe we just leave it
I know. What's like a live action Disney we could do? Although I just saw online the other day that because Snow White quote unquote bombed, they're
Right.
not
Yeah.
moving forward with
Yeah. And I
Mulan.
did
So.
audition for the Tangled movie. I sent in like a tape that they asked
Oh.
for, which was, I was so excited. But if it comes along again, they know I exist and I would love to be Rapunzel. But I don't know if I'm really like fully a Rapunzel though, even though she is a lot of fun.
I love
Yeah.
the idea
She
of
is
Rapunzel
fun.
being black because of
It would be
the
so
idea of
cute.
hair being so in black culture too.
It would be so cute. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I understand there are people who are like purists about what they think, like,
Right.
the Disney princess should stay this or whatever. I don't care. I think it could be so fun with so many different people because her iconic blonde hair, absolutely. But also there was a discussion about maybe her being like Indian and Desi. And that could be so
Ooh.
iconic as well. Like, could you imagine just the colors and the purple
Oh.
and the hair? It would be so iconic. I just feel like people's fear and their racism is having them, they're missing out
I
on so
agree.
much. Oh,
Absolutely. I
it's
agree. And
so
it's
good.
interesting you
I
mentioned like they've
know.
done Cinderella so many times. They're going to redo all these movies so many times over and over again. So why not just take a risk with the next one? It's I
Exactly.
feel that way about Broadway revivals too. People either are purists
Yes.
or they take a big swing and it's like it's going to come around again. So just like
Exactly.
let it be this cool new vision for it.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, so good though.
I know. Oh my God. I love that you were like a cartoon and like a Disney girly growing
Yes.
up. And now here you are on
Right.
stage playing. I feel like I never even imagined that Betty Boop would be a Broadway show, though. So I bet that wasn't even something
No.
you would dream of as a kid,
No way. I always kind of did want to do like voice acting in cartoons. So I think, and I've auditioned for some like voiceover work here and there, but this might be like a little nod to that in my career so I can maybe step more into that door. But I always wanted to be, and my family always said, they're like, you're such a cartoon. And growing up, my dad did cartoon impression voices all the time. So like, it really just feels like it was meant to be. Like, I was just meant to just be here. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like runs parallel in a way to the Betty storyline. I don't know. I'm seeing like,
No,
finding your way to New York. Yeah.
I was thinking about that this morning, and it's crazy that I only am just starting kind of to compare my own life to Betty's story, but I'm like, and even the audition process, I said to this morning on CBS, I was like, the whole story is she's looking for something, but she doesn't know what it was. And so when I was auditioning for this and talking to Jerry and like the team, they're like, they were looking for somebody, but they could not find the person they were looking for. And then it turned out it was me, and that's so freaking
It is, and you're perfect. You
cool.
are so perfect in this show.
Thank you. I really love doing it. Oh, I really do.
We read at your credits at the top, and you were in the national tour of Mean Girls playing Gretchen, which I could also see you eating down as Gretchen.
Thank you.
Where were you at in your life when Mean Girls can push you out on the road?
I was doing The Wanderer at Paper Mill, and Mean Girls is something I had been auditioning for since I was in college, I think. And I went in for Regina while it was on Broadway. I think right as Renee Rapp was going in is when I started going in for Gretchen. So I'd been in for it for a long time, but when I did The Wanderer at Paper Mill, they called me in like one last time, and I was like, I'll go. I was like, they want to see me again. And I had a work session, and then I had a final callback with Tina Fey.
Gosh.
I know she was just there. It wasn't really like much like her doing things with me necessarily, but she was there and that was really cool. And then I got a call like as I was on a train into Paper Mill to do either a show or a tech. And they were like, "Do you want to do Mean Girls on national tour?" And I was like, "Hell yeah!" I was like, "Yes, of course I do." And it kind of had been like me bouncing back and forth between auditioning for Gretchen and then Regina, but Gretchen ended up being the one I played. And yeah, it was crazy. It was really crazy.
Did you like getting to see the nation?
I did. It was exhausting.
Yeah.
And I always say now, if I could never tour again, I would never do that again.
You got it out of your
Only,
system.
right, only because I just am such a homebody and I have a dog as well. And so my dog was living with my family in Texas at the time. So I wasn't with her. And I was just so drained emotionally and physically. Toward the end, it got better because we like sat down in cities for a little bit. But when I first got there, we had 22 weeks straight where we were just going from city to city to city. And it
Oh my
was
God.
horrific. But I made some of like the closest friends I've ever had on that tour. One of them is my roommate, who was actually, she played Karen. My friend
Oh.
Morgan Bryant, she is in Little Shop off Broadway right now, but she was like my light and savior on that tour. And so, yeah, and actually, a lot of people, a decent amount of people from that tour, one other actor, and then a bunch of like stage managers and my wardrobe, my main dresser is she was the star dresser on Mean Girls as well. So we found our way
Wow.
back to each other.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
It
Would you have
is.
any like favorite cities you did get to visit that were bright spots of the tour?
I really did like LA, even though when we were there, it was raining the entire time.
Oh.
It was crazy. I liked all of California. San Francisco was nice. We didn't stay in the city of San Francisco. We stayed outside, which was really nice. I loved Costa Mesa. It's gorgeous. And funny enough, it's a little town in South Carolina called, I think it was Greensboro or
Oh,
Greensville
yeah.
or Greensboro, one of the two. And I really liked that city too. It was just very, it was giving small town in a way that I really loved, like the little shops and everything. And it was really cute.
You like warmer
Yeah.
weather, I'm gathering.
I do like to be warm. We did have a lot of fun in Canada too, but Canada, it got cold towards the end there.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Wait, so in Texas, where what which major city did you grow up closest to?
Houston.
Houston, okay.
We say, oh, we're from Houston, but it's like the greater Houston area. I'm like 30 minutes outside of Houston proper, or yeah, since 30 minutes outside of like the center of Houston. Yeah.
Okay, Beyonce
Absolutely.
vibes.
Absolutely.
I love it. I was going to ask you because we were talking about you being out on the road and stuff, and I totally relate to being a homebody, routine-driven kind of guy. What's your relationship to New York like?
I love New York. I really do. And I came here in 2017 for college. I went to Manhattan School of Music for 2 years. And then I ended up leaving and started to work. But I love it here. So it's been like going on 8 years. And I'm a Manhattan girly through and through. People are like, "Oh, do you want to move here? Do you want to move to Brooklyn?" I'm like, "No, I want to live in Manhattan." I don't know. There's something about
Yeah.
it. Like, I love being drowned by the skyline. I love that it's so busy all the time. I love because I live in Harlem, but I get to drive up Madison Ave to get home sometimes. And I just love like at night looking out the window, looking at all the stores. I love New York.
When you hit all the green light, we used to live in Harlem too. When you're hitting all the green lights and you're just coasting up,
Yes,
oh, it's a
it
powerful
really
thing.
is. It's
Yeah.
so special. Like,
It's so good. Could you ever see yourself living full time, like in LA, maybe?
maybe one day, it depends. I kind of feel like I'd rather like buy here and then like one day have maybe a house out in LA, but we'll see.
Oh,
It depends on
period.
where life brings me.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, you never know. You never know. When was the first time you ever visited New York?
I came here for the first time when I was in high school. We did like a trip with my theater class and we came and we saw some shows. It was that year of like all the kid shows. School of Rock, Matilda. We saw Beautiful and but the first Broadway show I saw on that trip was Phantom of the Opera.
Oh,
So,
perfect.
and I think I was like 15 when I came here for the first time. And my mom came. I think I did it twice because I'm like looking back and thinking of what my hair looked like. And one time I had a lot of hair, and another time I had a pixie cut. So I must have come twice.
I love the idea of being able to like understand eras of your life based on what your hair looked like at the time. My hair is basically just like the same forever.
Oh my God, it's cute though. And I love that you two are redheads. This is so cute.
Oh my God. Well,
Oh,
we both
thank
started
you.
embracing our curls in like the last like year and a half or so.
They look
Dylan
good.
inspired me to do it, but thank you.
Thank
It's
you.
different every day. Curly hair is just,
Yep.
you never know, you know? So.
It's like the biggest blessing and the biggest curse at the same time.
Yeah. I hate when you have like an amazing hair day and you were just at home all day. You're like, well, that was
Yep.
really for me, I guess.
Yes, and then you have an event and it wants to look awful.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes.
Wait, speaking of
Yeah.
hair and everything, you looked absolutely beyond at the opening
Oh,
night of
thank
Boop.
you.
The dress was so gorgeous and light and old Hollywood glamour. I mean, it was perfect.
Thank you. Yeah, it's actually crazy. My makeup person for that night, his name is Mikey Clifton, Michael Clifton.
Oh my gosh, I just worked with him.
Yes.
He did makeup for us at for something for Wonderful Town at New York City Center.
He is. He designs all the makeup off for Boop and
Oh.
also Gypsy. And I think last 5 years, he does makeup. He is he's
Wow.
brilliant. But I was with him this morning as well. He is our makeup designer. And then the woman who did my hair, Sabana Mahid, she did my wig for opening. And she is our wig designer at the show. So it's a great people that I just like. I'm like, I have to keep you guys with me for the rest of my life now. So
Dream team.
truly.
What was opening night like?
It was so nice. You know, it was a little rainy that day, but it didn't feel like bogged down or anything. And I was saying, I just kind of felt like I was floating on a cloud, and like people were telling me where to go and bringing me places and did my hair and made sure I was fed and all these things. And I was just like, I was just the happiest girl on the planet. It was so much fun. And then we did the show and it was received so well. And then we went to our little party. And then I was out until like 4 a.m. with like some cast members, but it was just like, I couldn't have imagined a better opening night. Like, I was not stressed at all. I was just floating on a cloud. It was so fun.
You
Yeah.
were ready.
I was. I mean, after we did like 20, 25 previews. I was very ready. I was like, let's open the show quickly, quickly.
Were you like very stressed during previews, or were you still able to have fun during the experience? Because I'm such a person that's like,
Yeah.
I can't really have fun until I know what I'm doing, you know?
Right.
I wish I was more
Yeah.
chill.
Oh my gosh. And you know, sometimes you need to have that, like that, a little bit of that edge. We had fun for a long time. And then toward the end, it was no longer fun. I was stressed to the high heavens because people were coming to review the show.
Oh,
And I didn't think it would bother me, but I think being in the position that I'm in and also caring so much about the show, it stressed me out to no end. Like, I was so stressed, like those last couple shows before we opened, because I just wanted people to like it so badly. But then once it was over, I was like, thank the Lord. But it's always fun to do the show.
yeah. That's so nice. Now that you're open and the previews are done, I mean, I know press is going to be a thing for a little bit here now too,
Correct.
but as you're like on a podcast, I'm like, how can we
No, but I
figure out
love
how to chill? Well,
it.
what do you look forward to doing now that you're going to be moving into the run where the show isn't changing anymore and you're going to hopefully have more of a routine?
Yeah, I just am excited to play, like play within the show, because there's a lot of room for that, and there's a lot of room for creativity and exploration in this character, because it's honestly like she's nothing we've ever seen before on stage in that way. And so I really get to create her every day. And so for me, the process never ends. I mean, I'm not making any huge changes, but like little things, like what does that feel like? What is this experience like? And then I'm also excited to see what life feels like just as an everyday girly who gets to go be on Broadway. Like,
Yeah.
I like right now it is a lot of like press and here going and there and getting ready and glam and this and that and meetings, but it still already is just a dream come true.
Oh, that's so
That's
nice. I know. I feel like
beautiful.
you're gonna have like a really fun hot girl summer, like post
I
opening. Yeah, starring on
hope
Broadway, like hitting the streets, swinging your downtime, you know, being
Yes.
social and stuff. It's gonna be you and your doggy. It's gonna be great.
Right.
What kind of dog do you have?
I have a boxer. She is
So
75
cute.
pounds, and her name is Martha May Huvier from The Grinch.
Yes. Does she sleep in bed with you?
She does, but not all the time because she farts really crazy and I can't have
Martha May, come on,
Yes.
girl. Boxers are so loving and loyal.
She's my baby. She's a Velcro dog.
Aw. Did you get her when she was a puppy or?
I did get her when she was a puppy, and I got her during the pandemic, so she's also doesn't help with the attachment. She's a pandemic
Sure.
dog for
Yep.
sure.
Aw, that's
Aww.
adorable. I wanted to ask one more question about just Betty in general.
Yeah.
Obviously it's a cartoon character. She was in black and white, and now you, a real live person, are playing the character. What has the response been to you being a black woman as Betty Boop?
Honestly, it has been so wonderful. Some people, they don't even think about it. They don't care. And I love that also because it's not something they notice necessarily. It doesn't affect their way of viewing the show or receiving the show, which is lovely. We love a progressive world.
Yeah.
But also for Black people and Black women specifically, or especially, I'll say, it has been so nice because they come to see the show, and when I can stage door, I've been like, I haven't been for the past couple like week or so because to save myself anyway. But when I get to go out there and meet them, and they're just so freaking excited, and like they bring their sisters and their daughters and their grandmother, and it's like, it just feels like the most magical thing that I'm getting to do. It means everything to me. And like to see little Black girls come to see the show and get excited, but also just little girls in general come to see the show, and they are just like, I loved it. I love Betty Boop. I love you doing it. Or like I get notes about how little girls are inspired by me, and the fact that I get to do that to little girls who look like me. I get to do that for them, but also for little girls who don't look like me and they still feel the same way. It's really special. It really is amazing.
That's beautiful. Thank you for speaking to
Of course.
that.
I love what I do, and I love that I get to do it, and it feels important, which is really nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we're sadly wrapping up this convo, but we always end
Yes.
on a dose of drama. That's like a little pop culture recommendation, something that's been on our minds or in our pop culture diet. So we just need to share with the listeners. We need to get off our chests. And mine's a little bit less of a
Yes.
pop culture moment today. It's more of a commentary on New York brunching.
Oh gosh, okay.
Well, because my family was visiting me, our family,
Yeah, hello. Wow, y'all really moved on without me this weekend.
I always do that. Like, I'll be like, my parents in front of Dylan. He'll be like, mine too.
Like interesting.
Yeah, got it. They're yours now. But it's so crazy. New York really tries to get us with these brunch prices. And, there's like a lovely omelet that's, I don't know, $25, but you have to add like $10 for sausage or like $9 to add breakfast potato.
Yes.
Why are we spending like $40 on an entree? Like, this is like a brunch entree you could make at home for like $8. It's beyond. It's not even that
It's the
good,
tariffs, Connor.
ultimately.
It's the tariffs.
Look, also these egg
Here we
prices,
go.
I saw it, I didn't read it, but I saw an article that was like, how are the egg prices affecting fine dining? So look.
Oh yeah.
You're right. This must be contributing. This must be. This has to be because it was just bonkers. I was like feeling so guilty at brunch with mom and dad, being like, "This
Oh my
is
gosh.
nuts. Like, why are wh they're probably in shock coming from Cleveland, looking at these."
Yeah.
I mean, I don't barely even brunch anymore. Jeez. But anyway, I'm just feeling dramatic about it because it should be just a lovely morning afternoon experience, and instead you're basically putting down a security deposit. So it's
Truly.
that's why I just have liquid brunch. I mean, I think now you know.
Yes. Yes. That was
Okay.
literally us after the show yesterday. We had mimosas to celebrate.
Oh,
We're
well,
like,
that's
Happy
cute.
Easter.
Oh, yes. Aw, that's so
I'm sure
Oh
Faith Prince was leading the charge and
my
having fun.
gosh. That woman, I love her so much, but she will disappear from a theater like this.
Oh,
You don't
yeah.
know, how she left, where she went, but she's gone. She's the best, truly.
My dose of drama is, I don't know if Jasmine, if you watch Hacks
I
on HBO
don't.
Max, on Max. Okay. That's okay. I'm not loving this season. It's like one of my favorite shows, and I'm let down so far. And I just want to put it out into the universe that I hope it gets a little bit better as the show goes along. The two main characters are in conflict, which I know is important for an arc and development, but I want to see my girls getting along. And I think they'll obviously be fine. The show's going to keep going, but that's my drama. I'm just not loving Hacks as much as I did a year ago at this time when the second season came out.
I know. Or no, this is season four, Dylan.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Well, this is like in that one season of Gilmore Girls when Lorelai and Rory were fighting.
Oh,
That was
yeah, that's
really
true.
tough. That was
They made
really
it through, though. They made it
Wait, oh
through.
my God, Lauren Graham. I heard her on a podcast recently. She was 31 or 32 when they filmed the pilot of Gilmore Girls.
Wow.
Isn't that wild? I feel
That
like
is
because she was playing a
insane.
young mom, we were just like, oh, she's like a mom. I know, right? I'm like, wow, I'm almost the age of Lorelai. And that's aspirational because I love her. But anyway, Jasmine, do you have a dose of drama?
Oh
Again,
my
this could be
gosh.
a pop culture rec. It could be a rant, a musing, a
Yeah.
thought on your mind, anything to send us home with.
All right. So I've been watching Private Practice on Hulu, which is the Grey's Anatomy
Oh,
spinoff about the
yes.
wife of Dr. McDreamy, the ex-wife. And you know what? This show is show stresses me out so badly. It's, you know, Grey's Anatomy is the same way, but like anything that could possibly go wrong goes wrong. And I think I'm on like the third season, or maybe I just started the fourth. But this one of the characters, he ended up dying. But before he died, first of
Oh,
all,
yeah.
he ended up dying, leaving his child an orphan. Why? Because his wife, previously in a couple episodes before, died in a fiery house explosion. And I was just like, this is so unnecessary. And now the daughter hits by herself.
I
And
remember this.
yes. And then they were like, instead of like one of the characters adopting the daughter, they sent her with CPS.
Right. I
The
remember that.
cat.
I
Wait,
remember that
what are
happening.
yes.
Wait, this was Dell, right? The Chris Lowell
Yes,
character?
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
He died. And I was like, he didn't need to die. And then the daughter now is orphaned. We don't know where she is in the system.
I don't think we see her again. I'm just gonna give you a quick spoiler. I don't think we see her
I
again.
believe it. I believe it. Because what is Shonda?
Oh my
I
God.
know that show was crazy. Did you get to the episode where Amy
Wait,
Brenneman had to
don't
deliver?
spoil.
Oh,
Don't
okay. Where
spoil. she was pregnant? Was her Yeah,
character
is Amy
pregnant yet?
Brenneman pregnant? She's
Now,
the
who is it? Who's
therapist. The therapist. That's yeah,
yes,
the
and her
therapist
baby
one.
was stolen from her.
Oh,
Okay,
yeah,
that
that was the craziest thing
was.
I've ever seen on
Oh,
television.
I
And
couldn't believe
then
my eyes. She was like, I have to leave. And I was like, I don't blame you, girl. Literally, I kind of feel like something about it is more traumatic than Grey's Anatomy in a way, because I'm like, it's just like the decisions that these people make, I am astounded by them,
I know. I think it's
truly.
because, and I felt the same way. I quit Private Practice early because I think it's because it takes place just in a regular doctor's office, you know? Like it feels more normal. It's not like
Yes.
this crazy hospital where all this stuff's always happening. Like they're just like chilling out and all of a sudden the worst thing ever happens. It's really tough.
Correct.
It's tough.
It is,
Yeah.
but I just can't. It's like I can't stop looking at it.
Right. Well, there's Audra and there's Tay and yeah.
Absolutely. I
Audra.
yes, the queen
Oh,
herself.
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Your next door neighbor.
truly, truly,
Have
she's right
you met
there.
her before?
I met her briefly, like super briefly at their opening night party for Gypsy. I was there, and like she was on her way out, and I was like, I just want to say hi, and she was like, I know who you are. And I
Oh.
was like, not to scream into the podcast, but
No, you're good.
I
That's surreal.
literally lost my mind. And I'm obsessed with her. And one of my best friends is in the show with her. He's a swing, my friend Ian, who was also a newsie. But yeah, crazy. It's small worlds.
Oh my goodness. And you know, we just got to get you to meet Bernadette now to
Oh
complete the,
my
you know, from
God.
Cinderella.
That's one I think I might die. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she's everything. Oh my goodness. Well, Jasmine, this has been so much fun. I'm so happy for you. It was so nice to
Yes.
meet you too. You are such a light.
Thank you. You guys are so sweet. You guys are so fun. I love this. This was great. Yeah.
Oh, I really appreciate it. I feel like this is going to be, like I said, the hot girl spring and summer and
Yes.
beyond for
Thank
you. You're
you.
truly doing incredible work in Boop, and everybody has to go see you. They've got to follow you on Instagram. It's at Jasmine underscore Amy underscore R, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, everyone needs to follow Jasmine. They got to follow us. We're
Yes.
at the Drama Podcast. Connor's at Connor McDowell. I'm at Dylan McDowell. Thank you again, Jasmine and Connor. I will see you next time. Drama. Drama.